Welcome in, everybody. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. First off, hope you had a good holiday weekend. Second off, they haven't locked the doors. The show is still operational. So apparently the two of you did not bring it to a crashing halt. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. We didn't bring it to a crashing halt, at least. Apparently you forgot when the open ends.
I did.
After one
I just wanted
off,
to talk.
Though.
I was going to talk. I heard my name. That was enough, Ryan.
Mike said, hey, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be back because I got 4 days to go till I go on my real vacation.
Yeah.
Coming up. So I'm looking forward to that. Good weekend for you boys?
Sure.
Yeah.
It seemed like there were about 17 different lines of thunderstorms. I mean, I know that's supposed to be normal, but it seemed even excessive over the weekend.
Is that right?
There was a lot of thunderstorms here over the course of the weekend. I enjoyed the 4th, went over to spend the time with my family and the newborn, Autumn. Hi. And that was fun on the 4th of July.
Is she listening? Is she tuned in right now?
If she is at home with my mom, then yeah. The radio is on and Autumn can hear me right now. So hi, Autumn. I had fun on the 4th of July.
Shout out to Autumn, Ryan.
And look, yesterday I was doing a bunch of stuff around the house. As Mike knows, my internet, thank you Comcast, didn't work for much of the weekend.
Suck.
I know. And yesterday it went out for another 4.5 hours. So the time I would usually spend like watching something on Netflix or something, instead I was watching the Wimbledon final. And then a lot of the Dead, White, and Blue weekend. I caught up finally on The Walking Dead.
I didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
Yeah, on AMC.
I know The Walking Dead had the marathon going on.
So I saw the 5 episodes I had missed yesterday.
It's
so.
Pretty gruesome.
The second half of the season was pretty awesome.
When does it start up again, please?
October.
Why are they doing the marathon now, just to kill a weekend?
It's the 4th of July, apparently, that's become a thing for
is
them
that their
on
thing?
AMC. They show The Walking Dead.
Are you a Walking Dead guy, O'Halloran?
No, I'm looking forward to a week from... No, this coming Sunday night, season premiere, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, you're that guy, are you?
Lauren, you in?
No way.
That sounds like a Hicken show. I think Hicken does all the Real Housewives show. I don't know about that. I'm into The Last Ship right now, which does Sunday nights, and Murder in the First, which is on tonight, which is excellent. Catch up on demand. It's only 4 episodes deep right now. But I thought, overall, I had a nice little break over the weekend. As we mentioned with Dan and Jeff here a minute ago, the NFL news of the weekend, Josh Gordon getting a DWI, driving while impaired. Everyone's got their own little designation for what that means. But driving while impaired is what he gets pulled over for, a .09 above the legal limit, whatever the case may be.
3 a.m.?
Right. 3 a.m., basically, right? Which, and everyone says, oh, they're young. They can do whatever they want. Go out. I mean, you can. Go out all night. Just don't get behind the wheel of the car if you've been drinking, especially if you're Josh Gordon. If you're in this position, you're awaiting sentencing, so to speak, from the National Football League and Roger Goodell. They have, everyone's expecting him to get suspended a minimum of 8 games, more likely an entire season coming up for multiple violations of the substance abuse policy in the NFL. And he gets this tacked on top of it, which won't necessarily even be, factored in. He may get suspended for a year, and this will have to play its course, and he'll have this to deal with when he comes back.
I mean, like, just on Thursday when the NFL announced some suspensions, word came out that Gordon's...
They had a pretty good run of suspensions this week, didn't
it's
they?
It's a nice little NFL news drop on
drop it all right on the holiday weekend.
Yeah. They said that Gordon's appeal is going to be set for late July, which conceivably could have... set him up, get your suspension, you can participate in training camp. Then he gets arrested.
Right.
So, I mean, as we know, Goodell doesn't, he likes dropping the hammer. So this just, they just added to Gordon's dossier. So this can't be good because, as you said, it came out after the draft that, rumored to be suspended the whole year, but nothing official. So, you don't want to stand in front of the commissioner and have to explain the arrest before you have to explain the failed drug test.
Right.
So
there was a story that had come out about a day prior to him getting arrested with the DWI that said sources close to him, friends, confidants, I don't know who they were quoting, just sources close to Josh Gordon, were concerned that if he does get suspended for a year, that he is not emotionally mature enough to deal with it that they think he'll just spiral out of control and basically that'll be the end of his NFL career.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Does it?
Yeah. I mean, when Blackman got suspended the first time, all his teammates said, well, I'm so glad he's still going to be able to be around us.
Right.
And basically inferring, not left to his own devices.
Giving him a support system in place.
Exactly. Then when he got suspended the second time indefinitely, which is the current ban, the same teammates said, hey, now you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, Gene Frenette from our paper tried to find out what was going on a couple weeks ago, talked to a lot of different people. And in the telltale sign from that story was people who consider him close to them are still trying to find out.
Right.
So, which is not a great sign either because he's not reaching out to people.
No, he's, you know, kind of gone off on his own. At least that's the perception we have, is that he's kind of doing his own thing. And probably none of it productive in terms of getting back on the football field anytime soon.
But I guess it could be worse. He could be reaching out to a guy named Fats.
Fats with a record. And I don't know how many Fats have a record, but I'm guessing it's higher than the percentage of Tonys walking around. But I could be wrong about that. I don't. Although he's kind of doubles up there.
Yeah, I do.
Fats Tony. By the way, I'd like to welcome our new studio sponsor today, the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field, our new title sponsor here for our studios as we come to you live every day from Everbank from 10 to noon on Jaguars today. Training camp will open up before the month is out, so we're into July. We'll get rolling today, talking a little bit about Justin Blackman and Josh Gordon both. In fact, our question of the day, presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asks you which one of these guys will be in an NFL uniform first. Will it be Gordon? Will it be Blackman? You can weigh in on Facebook, facebook.com/Jaguars today. Tweet us in a variety of ways. You can tweet at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and weigh in with your thoughts on that, on which one of these guys. And today, guys, one of the things I think we'll get into, and we'll ask for people to weigh in as Jaguar fans on the phones at 641-1010, is Justin Blackman right now, and maybe the story's not completely written on him, and there's still a chance for redemption in a Jaguar uniform, but as of right now, who do you consider to be the most disappointing player in franchise history? Certainly he's on a short list of guys, and Ryan, why is it? Is it something about the nature of the wide receiver position, or is it just a run of coincidental bad luck that the Jags have had so many difficulties off the field? With wide receivers, going back to R.J. Soward, obviously Jimmy Smith and Reggie Williams, Matt Jones, all these guys have had their demons off the field, and Justin Blackman being the latest example.
Well, that's tough to say, not having been around those other guys. Who was making those decisions? Soward, Williams, Matt Jones, Blackman. And, you know, when they did their character background, did they do it? Or did they do it and not care?
Right.
Because football coaches, regardless of the level, always say, we can fix that guy. Okay, who talked who when they decided to draft Blackman and trade up to get him? That's one of the discussions. Everybody involved in that discussion is no longer working here. So that's the case on Blackman. But part of it you do have to chalk up to bad luck. I mean, these guys weren't connected in any way other than they played receiver and they're
right.
Knuckleheads.
They played receiver and they happened to get selected or end up playing for, in the case of a guy like Jimmy Smith, the same franchise. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. Want your response to that as Jaguar fans. 641-1010 is the number. Khalil Mack, a would-be potential Jaguar draftee who Ryan O'Halloran has declared will be a bust in the National Football League.
Who?
Khalil Mack.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Not two. He hasn't played a game yet. He can't back off the bus.
I thought you said Ace Sanders.
No. No. We're gonna have people believe in you said that though. By the time the season kicks off. Khalil Mack was the first guy on it, and he got run over by the O'Halloran bus back in the draft process. He subbed in for Peter King today, writing the Monday Morning Quarterback column at SI.com. We'll get Ryan's appraisal of that as a professional journalist a little bit later on. But he listed his targets of guys that are on his hunt list, so to speak, guys he'd like to sack in the National Football League, some obvious guys on there for obvious reasons because they've, you know, been the gold standard at quarterback in the National Football League. But Blake Bortles made an appearance on the list.
They the Raiders play Brady in week two, I think, at New England, and they play, obviously, Broncos in a division. Do you think Mac even knew what team Bortles was playing for?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, he did know what team he played for. I'm not going to say that he knew he didn't play him this year, but I'm going to say he did because as he's watching the draft go off the board, he's thinking, I might end up a Jacksonville Jaguar. And when they take Blake Bortles, if he's anything like his now teammate Maurice Jones-Drew, he felt slighted because that's the position you take when you don't get everything you want, I guess, in professional sports today. You're being disrespected.
Well, he's hanging out with the right guy with Maurice, then,
yes,
if he wants
is.
To carry that.
Maurice, by the way, who was on, I believe, with Matthew Berry over the weekend, our buddy Josh Carney texted me. I didn't see it. Said that he will be the number one most valuable pick in fantasy football this year, and Darren McFadden will be number two. Apparently, they're both a threat to go over 100 every week with a touchdown. So there you have it. I'd be surprised if it happens for both of them in the same week once.
I mean, Maurice, he went through the car wash last week, obviously preparing for his next career.
Right.
And over under on Maurice yards this year, I'm going to go 500.
500? I'd take the over on 500. Okay. I'd take the over on 500, but I'd probably take the under on 1,000.
About 750?
You're getting into my sweet spot here. I'm going to say over on 750, but not too confident that I'm going to go much higher than that. But I would take the over. Tony, you take the over on 750? I think he's the lead guy in Oakland, at least gets the opportunity to be, over McFadden.
As crazy as it sounds, he's less injured than Darren McFadden. So, yeah, I'd probably go over 750. But it's right around that number. 800 would be tough.
Not challenge. Yeah. It's right in that 765 range. All right. Today, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it. You can tweet us at all the above mentioned, aforementioned, and post on the Facebook.com/Jaguars Today page. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Talking today, among other things, who is the biggest disappointment in Jacksonville Jaguar team history? 641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in. Yes?
I'm going to go with Gabbert.
Tony and I were talking about that before you arrived.
Because that book is closed.
He's definitely in the conversation based on what you expected out of that guy. We'll discuss that as we go along today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you live at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, I'm out of the game. How long did it take you guys to get the theme last week?
Wild Wild West. Listen.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, well, she did a 4th of July thing.
Yeah, it was red, white, and blue on Thursday.
Failed miserably.
Really?
Yeah, we had Red Blue's Hot Traveler. Chili Peppers, White Stripes, and then we had Blue Oyster Cult, I believe.
Ah!
Good memory. Oh, my goodness.
This one, I don't know.
Couldn't figure it out. This one?
This one is not themed.
Wild
is,
West.
Exactly.
Wild West Guns
the
and Gold.
The theme will start the next rejoiner.
Do you have a song for the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute?
I will.
Come up with something there.
Absolutely.
Back adjust. Oh, baby, you got back. Fortunato suggests.
You want it, Joe? You got it.
Well played, sir. Well played. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in today. Among the things we'll discuss, most disappointing player in Jaguar team history. Got some support for your Blaine Gabbert on Twitter. And you're right, we don't know what the future is with Justin Blackmon. We talked about this the first week we did this show, Ryan. What did you put the percentage at? 5%, you thought?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Probably the same now.
That he'd be back in a Jaguar uniform at any point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you never know when he's going to be reinstated. You know, what's the thinking inside the building? I tend to go with Gabbert because when you miss on a quarterback in the top 10, it just has a bigger ripple effect than losing on a receiver. Because to me, they moved on from Blackmon the night they chose Robinson and Lee. Okay, those are second-round picks. When you move on from a quarterback, you got to do other stuff, like taking Blake Bortles, number three.
Right.
So it just has a bigger ramification when you strike out on a quarterback that high.
And as Tony pointed out, you're not just talking about your first-round pick. You're talking about your first and second-round pick that year, because that's what it took to get in position to take him at 10th overall. We've gone through all the permutations of what they could have had with those picks. It's always a fun second-guessing game.
J.J. Watt. Robert Quinn,
J.J. Watt, Colin Kaepernick, you know, guys like that.
Andy Dalton was somebody that was being talked about.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't.
Draft.
You know what? I don't think they were in position to get those guys without a move up though in the second round because they were picking 16.
No, but the conversation leading up to draft night was: do the Jags like Andy Dalton enough to maybe pull the trigger on him where they were in the first round?
Right.
And if that's the guy that they liked, they could have.
I wonder though, had they had Andy Dalton here, you know, I don't know if Andy Dalton's some great quarterback. Now his numbers last year were pretty damn good, okay? He's got A.J. Green. How much, you know, that's got to factor into it. But the rest of that cast of characters, he's got some, I mean, Marvin Jones, is he all world? You know what I mean? I mean,
Gresham's okay as a tight end.
Right. I give Andy Dalton some credit for what he's done, but it's like Russell Wilson. If the Jags had drafted Russell Wilson, with what they had to work with here, not only offensively, but just, you know, have the system in place in Seattle where you have that defense that could carry you. You could really be conservative that first half of his rookie year and how many times you wanted to throw it. You had a dominant running game with Marshawn Lynch. Would Russell Wilson be the same Russell Wilson that we're talking about now if he were in Jacksonville, if the Jags had taken him?
Well, Gus Bradley tells a story because he was there, obviously, in Seattle. I said, when did you know they had something with Russell Wilson? He said, probably about game 8 when they let him, you know, they had to come back in a game. And he showed some things in terms of running the offense, running 2-minute. Because that first half of the season, they're just trying to manage the situation.
Super conservative.
Yeah. And that's still Pete Carroll's MO. Because he doesn't have to, throw it up. So, obviously they massaged that thing. So, Wilson, but. Thing about Dalton is they probably didn't want to start him right away, but then the Carson Palmer holdout.
Right.
They did start him, so everybody's.
It's hard to argue that Andy Dalton's been anything but a success based on where he's been picked. The fact he's been able to take him to the playoffs a few times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody, the people who defend Gabbert, and it's a very small section.
Still,
well, he got put into the game too early. So what? I mean, even if he would have waited until game 8 or 9, I think we'd still be in the same spot. He just wasn't cut for it. At least here, Dalton started right away. You know, he probably
earlier than expected. Right? Russell Wilson certainly earlier than expected because they had gone out and signed Matt Flynn prior to the draft.
And you say, well, he had better teams around him, but still, you have to function as a quarterback. You have to make some plays. They're not handing it off every play. You have to make throws on third down. You have to avoid sacks and turnovers. Those guys did it as rookies. No matter when Gabbert would have been put in the game, either 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever, I think we still would have been at this point.
641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in. We'll start today off with Jerome on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. What's up, Jerome? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Great. Good. Man.
Great. I got to say, Justin Blackmon, he was a disappointment, yeah. But do you think, if I had to pick a player, I would probably have to go with either Byron Leftwich or Gabbert. But overall, ahead of that, I'll probably have to go with Shaq Harris. Because didn't he draft Leftwich? And wasn't there, like, other opportunities, like a whole bunch of other quarterbacks that came out that year that he kind of, like, passed
year.
On?
The next year.
The next year?
Yeah, but because they had drafted Leftwich, they weren't going to take a guy like Ben Roethlisberger when they had the opportunity to. Because you had just drafted your guy that you thought was...
And the next year was Rivers and Manning and... Roethlisberger?
It was the very next year. The very next year was those three guys coming out.
Yeah, then I have to say Gabbert. And I have to say Gabbert or Gene Smith.
All right.
Well, I think Gabbert over left, which is no brainer.
It's a bigger disappointment.
Yes.
Oh, me too. No, without question.
At least Byron won some games.
Yeah, Byron was decent. I mean, he wasn't great. He wasn't, and never really, other than... through injury, went on to play any meaningful football once he left Jacksonville. And nobody was handing him a starting job, which should have been as telling as anything at that point in time.
You raised the point about they traded that second-round pick to move up to get Black.
Uh-huh.
Look at
Gabbert.
Gabbert, excuse me. The 2003 draft, second-round pick, Rasheem Mathis, 152 games. Second-round pick in 2004, Daryl Smith. 142 games. Hold on to those picks.
Maurice Jones-Drew, second-round pick.
Greg Jones was also a second in 2004. So you're giving them, we can belabor this, we have, but hang on to those top three rounds.
Oh.
I know the defense was really good when Byron was here too, that's when John and Marcus were there in the middle of it, and Mike Pete was behind them. So they had a lot of talent there on the defensive side of the ball. But I just crunched the numbers. Byron, in a starter, as a starter in 44 games here in Jacksonville, went 24-20. Blaine Gabbert couldn't dream of getting to a point where he was 24-20
with
this team.
5-20?
Yeah. I mean, that's not even close between those two guys.
Odds that Blaine Gabbert will play 24 more games in the National Football League, I'm going to put at 1%.
Is that 24 starts.
24, I'll take the under.
Right, I'll take the under, whatever, wherever you want to land that.
24 starts.
24 games. Oh, yeah. Mop-up. I mean, how many mop-up situations do you get in?
24 starts, 0%.
0%. But 24 games, I guess he's Ryan's
10%.
Putting it at oh, 10%.
For 24 games.
Nobody gets that much mop-up duty, though, do they?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, if he's in the league another 10 years, somebody will bounce around. He'll get, like, 9 starts.
A handful of starts here, a couple of...
He'll come in like in a relief situation, kneel down.
I got gotcha. You.
Hey,
right.
That guy.
That counts.
That guy's going to be part of winning programs.
Well, clearly. I think you've laid it out beautifully right there. I don't have a problem with giving up the second round pick if it's... Because think about this. If you're sitting at 16 and you really believe that Blaine Gabbert or whomever, your quarterback that you can get at 10 and you're like, wow, I can't believe he's available at 10... You can't take a chance that he's going to fall to 16, can you? I mean, if Gabbert had turned out to be good, nobody would bat an eye at giving up a second-round pick to move up to secure him, right? Don't you think?
No. You know.
I mean, honestly, if RG3 plays for the next several years like he played for most of his rookie season, I don't think most people would fault the Redskins for giving up 3 firsts and a second to get him.
Let's put this, there was a lot of immediate second-guessing when they drafted Gabbert.
Oh, no question.
Because they moved up, got him where they could have stayed put, and maybe had to move up 3 spots or whatever. You know, Minnesota was going to take a quarterback. So, I mean, you look at Tennessee's really to blame for starting this domino, taking a locker at 7 or 8. That's ridiculous.
In hindsight, certainly it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, but you look at, J.J. Watt, 11, Quinn, 14, you know, Kerrigan's a decent player. The Redskins traded down from 10 to 16 for him. So, I mean, it's there's the better quarterbacks in that draft were in the second round.
Yeah, and I remember at the time the biggest criticism, because I hadn't seen much of Blaine Gabbert play, and I'd watched the draft process like everybody else, and yeah, he's got all the measurables, he fits the profile, but there were quarterback needy teams that passed on the opportunity, either passed or in the case of Washington traded out of that spot. And that doesn't mean that all those teams are going to make the right decision. Clearly, quarterback needy teams passed on Russell Wilson, for example, but it was a bit of a red flag.
I remember draft night 2011, first round. I'm covering the Redskins. They're sitting at 10. I remember the first question I asked Mike Shanahan that night, why not Gabbert at 10? Well,
what did he say?
And he said, we felt that we had other needs.
Yeah, in other words, we don't think he's – nobody's going to call out the other GM. But
yeah, and but what he also said later is they had – they did like Dalton and Kaepernick. They just weren't on the board when they drafted at 41.
Well, they could have got him at – I mean, that's the thing. You're sitting there at 16. That's, I think, why Dave Caldwell didn't get cute with Blake Bortles this year. Now, he's got to turn out to be a good quarterback for that to pay off, but – if you're the Redskins, you've already picked up an extra second-round pick. At that point, if you really like one of those quarterbacks, you got to go out there and get them and then, you know, make it up with your extra second-round pick. You know, in Ryan Kerrigan, I'm sure they could have found some linebacker or something that could have helped them just as much.
And at that point, Griffin wasn't on anybody's radar.
Right.
So they
right.
It's not like you were looking ahead.
Yeah, RG3 came out as like the first couple games of the year. He had been put up some big numbers in college, but he was not on the NFL draft radar as a top 3 kind of pick, or top 2 as it
turned
out.
Not until he beat Oklahoma. I mean, he was gathering momentum just as, you know, just because he had eye-popping numbers. Well, that gets you the Heisman. But when he beat Oklahoma, which the team they had never done,
right,
that got him on the NFL radar.
Word is he looks phenomenal this offseason. My favorite weight and draft fantasy quarterback this year.
RG3?
RG, they had D-Jax to Garcon, who led the league in receptions.
We talked about it as soon as they got D-Jax. If there was anything that RG3 did in his college career in that rookie year, it was throw the deep ball.
Throw the deep ball.
He's
on a dime.
Yeah.
And that's who you've got. You've got maybe the best deep ball receiver in the National Football League. You're certainly one of them. And Jay Gruden loves to throw the football.
I'll tell you, DeSean Jackson better be looking out for Winston Guy in week two.
Uh-oh, look out.
Because I'm picking the good guys.
He's coming your way. He's got the Jags 16-0, Ryan O'Halloran.
Ace Sanders on a punt return.
Maybe 1-1 to start.
Let's get one more in before we break. Joey, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Go ahead. How are you, man?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
First off, Mike, Mojo gave you a little bit of credit on the Matthew Berry podcast.
What'd he say?
He was pumping you up a little bit about you guys' team and your fantasy league last year you had, I guess. But he's pretty bitter about you sitting him that last week. I guess he told a story about that. He was a little bitter.
Because, you know, obviously Maurice has got other things to do in a couple of hours leading up to kickoff, other than manage his fantasy team. So I reluctantly agreed to make sure his lineup was straight for any last minute things. And I left him out of his own lineup during the championship game in week 16.
Well, he'd missed the last game.
And
the previous week.
He had, but I still, he said, if I play, you got to put me in there. And I forgot to switch him out. Had he lost, however, Joey, I would, my career in terms of broadcasting with Maurice Jones-Drew would be over by now. So
I hear you. He did, of course, make it a point to say he outscored the person that you replaced him with.
Nah, I'm sure he did. and that may be the case. That may be the case.
But listen, I wanted to comment really quick on Bortles. You're talking about draft picks and early draft picks. It's not that I really so much mind their theory of sitting Blake Bortles this year, except for one thing, and especially now, this league, you have to win fast, and you have to produce, and you have to show things quick. And if guys like, Jameis Winston from Florida State, if he has another great year and he's the number one QB prospect and we don't play Blake Bortles all year, and so we don't really know because we haven't seen him on the field and we have a, you know, top three pick and an opportunity to get a guy like that, then what do you do as a franchise if he's there when it's your pick? You don't know about your quarterback and you've got possible, you know, franchise guy there. Then that's the one reason why I feel like it's just not a good idea anymore to sit your early first round quarterback like they're planning on doing this year.
Well, I would be. You raised a couple of good points. I would be stunned if Bortles doesn't start a game this year. They say that's their plan, et cetera, et cetera. But let's say you're the Jags. It means you're going to go in the next year firmly with Bortles as you're, you know, believing in him. So let's say you're drafting seventh, and one of those quarterbacks, either Mariota or Winston, is there at seven. That pick is worth a lot. Now you can trade down and pick up an extra second, extra third. So hey, you'll use that to your advantage.
By the way, if the Jags are picking seventh next year, and Mariota and Winston are the kind of guys
they
that are worth trading for, they'll be long gone by the seventh pick.
And that's what I think. That's part of the reason they took Bortles here.
They said, looking at him and evaluating next year's crop of potential quarterbacks, they felt that if he returned to school for another year, that he'd be the best of the bunch coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
So they took him now, and they've got him to work him with a professional coaching staff, mold him into what they want to be. Whether they're right or not, time will tell on that. But that's the way they feel. They feel that had they both come back for another year, because as much as you may find that hard to believe with the numbers Jameis Winston put up, I mean, you could pick apart his game from a few standpoints. You can pick apart certainly off the field with Jameis Winston, but he's got a funky throwing motion. I mean, who knows? Who's to say what this next year holds? But that's what they believe, Ryan. At least that's what, you know, I believe they believe that. I don't think Dave Caldwell is making that up when he says that. I believe that's their evaluation. Now we got to find out if it's right.
And then also, I think they wanted to go, they feel they're going to be improved enough where they won't be in position to get one of those quarterbacks. So why not get them now?
Right.
And, you know, then go, you know, because if you win one or two more games, then you're going to be out of striking range.
Yeah, by the way, if they win three games, or if they have a kind of season where they only win three games, Blake Bortles would likely have started a number of games.
Yeah.
And you would have, now that may be good or bad, right? I mean, because you're only winning three overall, But you're going to reach a point with Chad Henne, you're 3-something, and you say, okay, it's time to put Blake Bortles in. Well, we've got to give him a look if we feel like he's not going to get himself killed out there. 641-1010. Let's take a quick timeout. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars today live at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field. We started last week with our friends from Foundation Professionals, started our Jaguar photo contest, which we're playing for a pair of tickets to the home opener. And if you win on a weekly basis, you go into a drawing for a pair of tickets to go see the Jags take on the Indianapolis Colts in week 3 of the regular season. Foundation Professionals of Florida, your full-service foundation repair company. Exterior, interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors. If you've got issues with your home's foundation, Foundation Professionals of Florida can take care of them for you, and they feel that you, the Jaguar fans, are the foundation of the Jacksonville Jaguar organization. And this week's theme for our photo contest, which, by the way, I've pinned a thread on the Facebook page, you can post them there, you can tweet us photos, is simply Patriotic Jags in honor of the July 4th Independence Day weekend. We've gotten some good ones in already, and whatever comes to mind when you think Patriotic Jaguars, send us a photo of that, and if you're this week's winner, you'll go in a drawing for a pair of tickets to the home opener, courtesy of our friends at Foundation Professionals of Florida, who you can get in touch with at 287-2690, or check them out online at foundationprosfl.com. That's PROSFL.com, foundationprosfl.com. Yes, Ryan O'Halloran.
Oakland Raiders, 32.
Number 32.
When are the good guys going to come? I bet the good guys are going to come in about 28.
I was going to say 29. Yeah. They're building a little bit of momentum in mythical momentum. There's really no momentum until you get on the football field. But I think the feeling is nationwide that the organization is heading in a good direction. What we're talking about here is Pro Football Talk is doing their power rankings, their off-season power rankings, and they'll do a team a day. And Maurice Jones-Drew switched uniform numbers at the wrong time.
He got worse.
He gets all right. He went right. He did do that. He fell in the rankings. Oakland comes in dead ass last in the Pro Football Talk power rankings. Not that they have any bearing. The great thing about the NFL is they don't actually determine anything based on the power rankings, unlike college football. That yes, they'll have a 14 playoff, but you get into it courtesy of basically power rankings. In the NFL, you can say that team's going to suck. They have a chance to prove you wrong,
yeah.
And it doesn't really matter. But he switched to number 21. It didn't help him. He's still number 32, at least for now.
And I think the Raiders, Dennis Allen, is a leader in the clubhouse in terms of first coach fired.
Because I haven't thought about that yet. That's a good one.
They signed all these guys, all these veterans who are probably washed up, thinking that they'll be able to compete. Well, there's, you know, if they start off like 2-7 or something like that, they'll just make a change.
Can he, though, pull the pin on that David Carr grenade and throw that thing into the mix and save his job? Like a month in, and Matt Schaub.
Derek Carr.
Either one.
I think he'll do that way before then.
I will, yeah. Way before week 4.
No, probably 5 or 6.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I do.
They have a
tendency to call him David Carr, yes. Yeah.
But they have like an early London game. It means they have an early bye. So I bet you see Derek Carr a month before you see Blake Bortles.
That could make sense. There's been some favorable buzz about Derek Carr just based on his all season. They said that he appears even better than they expected him to be. He looks good. Now, as Tony and I have talked about, Ryan, you probably have talked about this with us to some degree, it's easy for Derek Carr. The big knock on him is, how does he perform under pressure? Does he get happy feet? You're not going to have that in OTAs when you know there's no threat of getting clobbered back there in the pocket. You're going to have less of that anyway.
Yeah, and the one time I watched an entire Fresno game was against USC in the bowl game. Let's face it, USC wasn't the USC of old.
Not even close.
And he wasn't not even close in pressure.
He was backpedaling away from pressure the entire day, throwing off his back foot. Didn't look good at all.
A lot of screens, a lot of bubbles.
Which is the knock on him anyway, that there's such a high percentage of his passes were completed within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. But regardless, if you're a head coach, I mean, Matt Schaub, I think we saw where Matt Schaub is in his career last year. Although, you know, We say that 2 years ago, Philip Rivers to me looked physically washed up.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, I think Philip Rivers had been a better quarterback than Matt Schaub, but Matt Schaub hadn't been chopped liver, in the NFL prior to last year and really fell off the cliff.
I mean, even when he came in relief of the Thursday night game here, he looked okay.
Right.
He didn't look like a turnover machine. But at least from a Raiders perspective here, they're at least keeping this quarterback it is a competition, you know. So if you're Dennis Allen, are you going to take the strategy of I got to go with the veteran to save my job, or do I go with Derek Carr from the outset thing? If I go with the rookie, they're going to give me another year.
Exactly. And that's honestly why it's great that the Jaguar regime seemingly has a lot of job security, right? The perception is that they can do no wrong right now despite 4 wins last season. And that gives you the luxury of developing a plan and sticking to it, at least for now. You know, at least for this year, I don't think there's any too much heat, barring an unmitigated disaster of an 0-16 or a 1-15 type season, as long as they're more competitive this year.
Well, that's why winning those games last year, that's what it did, is it convinced people that, hey, their plan is in place, working to a certain extent. We'll see if they take another step this year. But instead of, God forbid, they would have went 0-for,
right,
then all the talk this season, when are you going to win a game?
Right.
You know, same with 1-15. So now the talking point has shifted to progress instead of just when are you going to win a game.
All right, let's get back to the phone line, 641-1010. Jack, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Hey, guys. I really enjoy the show. I like it's a great new show on the air here. I like the way you can rotate in co-host Mike, just like they're going to rotate the defensive line this year, keep them fresh and keep them all on their A game.
So Chris Clemens here with me today.
I'm the Leo of Jaguars Today.
He's the starting Leo.
Yeah, that's right. He's today. The starting Leo. Once a week, he can bring that A game.
Osher just comes in to get fresh legs for O'Howard.
Yeah, he can stop the run, but I don't know what idea. Hey, guys, I'm a lifer here in Jacksonville. I was around when Sports Talk Radio started, and, of course, the Jags. And my wife and I are really excited. We've got season tickets again this year just in front of the cabana. So hope we're not going to get too wet this year, but maybe it'd feel good on those afternoons. But you were talking earlier about character, and it's weird how the wide receiver, we have had some other guys, some Khalif Barnes and some other guys go off track a bit, but I remember back in the day, there was criticism about the Jaguars sticking with the two goody-goody guys. Like, there used to be Bible studies with Brunell and Baselli and some others. Brian Schwartz was a middle linebacker we had that was on a path to be good until he tore up his knee. And anyway, there was guys on the that are still on the radio airways today that used to say, we need to get some nasty guys, some guys with some bad character. And I guess there's a fine line in finding those guys, those nasty guys, because I'm just curious also, what kind of background has been done on these guys to, how can a young man like Blackman just throw away, the average working guys just wonder, how can he just throw away such a promising future and profitable future for, instead of hiring a driver or something? My goodness, it just reminded me of the guys that used to criticize the Jaguars for and Coughlin and some of the other in the day of looking for too good or worrying too much about character, and now we've kind of paid for it, like a lot of Cleveland is too. They took a chance with the guy. Maybe that's why they were trying to trade him last year when everybody would have probably taken him at the time. But anyway, enjoy the show and enjoy the topics that y'all throw out. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Jack's, Pete Prisco makes that point a lot, and I totally agree with him. You do need some guys in the locker room that can crack skulls. You need some vocal leaders who aren't afraid to get on guys. Maybe that has been lacking in previous years, probably. I think they got some guys. I don't think a guy like Red Bryant is going to be a vocal leader. He's not going to be afraid to say something. I think even you've seen Posluszny turn into more of a vocal guy in terms of pointing out things, but the character stuff, you don't want to acquire bad guys. You
right.
need to
big
acquire
difference,
tough guys.
Right. Big difference in the two, what you're talking yeah. about. You don't have to be both to be the other. Now, there are examples countless over the years, over the decades in the NFL of teams that appeared to run wild off the field and have success on the field. And that's great if you can have it. But what happens is if you're not winning, then those guys just become, albatrosses around a franchise's neck.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so I read a great thing is somebody was talking about Manziel and how all his movements were being followed around the country. Imagine the Cowboys of the early 90s. Somebody said TMZ would have set up a bureau in Irving.
Right.
You know, so those guys showed up to play. That's the difference is can the Jaguars get guys who can crack some skulls, make guys accountable, raise the standard, and aid the coaches in that, but also stay, you know, not be trouble.
Let's get Wes up here next before we break. Hi, Wes. How are you?
Hey, Mike, Ryan. Enjoying the show, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Hey, I was going to talk about the most disappointing pick to me, and that was Gabbert / Gene Smith. And I'll tell you why I put it like that is I didn't know much about Gabbert until we drafted him. And I went back and I YouTubed him, and he was the same guy in college all the way through his college career that he was to the last day he left Jacksonville. He would throw a beautiful out pass, but after 2 or 3 seconds in the pocket, I don't care if there's anybody around him or not, he just put his head down and he would start running. He wouldn't even know where he was running. He was just running. And he was the same guy. And I thought Gene Smith must have saw something I saw, didn't see, but he didn't. I don't know what he was looking at, but that was kind of when I came to realization that Gene didn't know what he was doing, but it's just a big disappointment because I had my hopes up. We had a quarterback and then it turns out we didn't.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
How do you
Thanks,
really
man.
Feel?
Hey, look, I mean, Gene was atrocious. For everyone who talks about Shaq Harris, and Shaq was not good, Gene made you long for the days of Shaq Harris. I mean, you know, who of any consequence is left from the more recent Gene Smith regime up until, you know, just last year? You had Maurice Jones-Drew, who was, you know, one of the top 10 all-time Jaguars drafted by Shaq Harris. You had Mercedes Lewis, who's still hoped to be a key contributor on this football team. That right there, to me, is more of a contribution than Gene Smith made in 4 years, Ryan.
It is. I mean, look at. To me, the biggest indictment of that regime is the trading away of picks. You didn't even have an opportunity to whiff.
When it was all about what's built through the draft, yeah. too, right? I mean, it was.
Did you see it him at Lehigh to say that translates to the NFL?
Right. 641-1010. Got to take a quick timeout. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios. We're live at EverBank Field. Back with this date in football history on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Oh, this date in football history. God love it. God love it. It's presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry all week long, and not a damn thing really happened of significance on this date in football history. Although, if you want to include the FUT football, Tony, do you know what major soccer milestone happened in 1957 today?
I do
on this
not.
Date? That would be the first national team appearance for one Pele for Brazil.
How about that?
Scored a goal. He was 16 years, 9 months old and scored a goal at the time, the youngest in international competition.
But, how about that?
Reggie Cobb was born on this day, former Jaguar great from the 95 season. Might be best known for his time with the Green Bay Packers. Maybe not. That's what we've got. O'Halloran.
Current San Francisco 49ers scout. Reggie Cobb.
Is he a San Francisco 49ers scout?
And his younger brother is the Jaguars.
Yeah, so. There you go. So it's all in the family
yeah.
Time. There you go, this date in football history.
Yeah.
Always chock full of amazing July milestones.
I'll tell you what, man. When we get to late July and at least we may
I'll
have
be
some
so happy.
Of preseason.
Or so happy.
In August when we have some, like, this is the day that Michael Vick tore his ACL. In
this guy ran
game.
For 150 yards in the third week of the preseason. I'll
right.
take it right now.
We'll take that.
I will take that in a heartbeat
happily.
Right now. Although, in the meantime, this date in football history. Soldiers On, presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, please call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. I hear the drugs will rot your teeth. Johnny Manziel might want to make a call. I don't know, allegedly. What else might he have been doing with that rolled up? I couldn't tell the denomination. I'm hoping it's at least a 50. for Johnny, because he rolls with the deep stacks out in Vegas. Photo, if you missed it over the weekend, Johnny out in Vegas once again. Holiday weekend, check. Vegas, check. Picture of me in the bathroom at some club rolling up a dollar bill to do who knows what, check. You know, O'Halloran.
If the Jaguars would have drafted him,
yes.
Would this all be happening, or would have Gus been more proactive, and would he have listened to the head coach?
Do you think it matters? I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I would think at some point, I would hope if the Browns are concerned about it, because Haslam had said, you know, he needs to tone it down. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, that they would have somewhere behind closed doors said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Do you think Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Eight Ball, as some have called him on this fine day, I don't know, allegedly, do you think he just doesn't care? You think he's just like, look, you knew who you were getting when you drafted me. I've got a persona. I am a brand. That's the thing. Who was the first guy to call himself a brand, by the way? Was it LeBron, right? It had to be Jordan.
I'd say Jordan.
Jordan's too. The brand, right? Yeah, Jordan was the brand. But do you think it matters? Do you think that Gus Bradley or anybody else could really impress upon him how important it is that he keeps his name out of the news for, you know, anything that could reflect poorly on the organization? You think he's going to have that impact?
I think this head coach would. But that's also probably why they didn't draft them. They maybe thought they couldn't.
Maybe they thought they couldn't, or maybe they didn't want to fight that battle constantly.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Especially if they would have drafted him, they would have declared, "Hey, Chad Henne's our starter." But then, Manziel isn't getting ready to start here, so
right.
He probably would have enjoyed himself like he's doing out there.
You would think so. I don't know what else you're doing in the bathroom, rolling up whatever denomination of bill he was rolling up, although. There's quite a fun list of suggestions online of what that might be. One guy said clearly, Tony, what
he's making an antenna for his money phone.
Well, you gotta have you gotta get reception. Those things don't get reception in the clubs like they used to. You need a little bit of an antenna there. I don't know. I'm sure somebody could come up with, the bar ran out of straws. Well, he was, you know, sipping his apple juice, you know, on his training regimen. I don't know. I couldn't possibly tell you.
Isn't there a straw in the drink right in front of him?
It's the good point. There is a straw in the mixed drink, by the way, that's sitting right in front of him on the bathroom counter. I'm assuming someone just put that down in front of him. That can't be his.
Couldn't be.
He's in training right now for the season. Look, it's not like I don't think that Peyton Manning will have an alcoholic beverage at some point this offseason. Osher said, you know, when he covered him in Indy, Peyton would go off and have his fun.
Yeah.
But he always was mindful of the fact that you are the face of the franchise and you can't be seen out in public, you know, looking sloppy drunk and this and that. You know, I don't know if Peyton Manning gets sloppy drunk, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? You got to be more mindful of your image as the CEO of the organization. So I guess from that standpoint, the Jags are probably very happy with no Blake Bortles news. And if they get no more Blake Bortles news this entire offseason until training camp, they'd be ecstatic with that, I would think. That's just the way you got to go. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in today, talking about some of the biggest disappointments in Jaguar franchise history. We saw Josh Gordon get the DWI. He's got a pending suspension from the National Football League. Obviously, similar circumstances to some degree as Justin Blackmon here, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think you could throw, even though he was a tremendous performer on the field, the way his career ended, I think Jimmy Smith has to be considered, in some aspect, one of the bigger disappointments of this franchise, because I think everyone believes he still had more football to play. And that he didn't walk away just because he was tired of playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Don't you think? I mean, look, I would put I put Jimmy further down the list because obviously he did tremendous things on the field. But not only for how his career ended, but the fact that, you know, rare is the guy, I guess, who takes accountability when he gets caught the first time. But he tried to pin his first encounter with the law is basically them framing him, you know, here in Jacksonville.
36 years old is at his last season.
Jimmy.
Yes, 70 catches. I mean, was the vibe here that he still could he have played till he's 39?
It was out of the blue when he walked away. They held a press conference that day. Jimmy Smith is retiring. I remember attending it. It was completely out of the blue. I remember David Lamb at the time, as far as I recall, being the only member of the media to ask whether or not drugs was, you know, a pending suspension or anything like that was part of that. And Dave was seen as public enemy number one, was my perception at the time. And I right now, I can't imagine finding too many people that don't think that it had something to do with his decision to walk away at the time.
Yeah, you know, sort of stay ahead of the news.
Right.
Retire instead
right.
of... Right.
Retire, and then you don't face a suspension because you're not playing anymore.
You know, his public humiliation then came later.
Right. So. You know, and for all accounts, Jimmy's doing better now. And, I think probably Jaguar fans have a soft spot in their heart for him for the most part because, you know, bottom line, he performed for their team.
Yeah, and it'd be one thing in terms of the fans. It'd be one thing if this happened when he was 27.
Right.
And wasted his prime.
Right.
Gave a lot to this organization on the field.
No question.
And, you know, just listening to him with Hacker and Joe probably a couple weeks ago, he seemed like a guy, you know, he'd turn that corner by admitting that it's an everyday thing.
I hope so. You're right.
I want to see him here.
You know, and I hope eventually it gets to the point where he's been on the, you know, the right path for a while, and it ultimately, I mean, his play on the field certainly deserves a spot in the pride of the Jaguars. I don't think there's any question about that. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. Talking about revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, and that's a guarantee. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, J-A-X, .com, or stop by their shop on Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777, 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor here. Our new studio sponsor, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, live from Everbank Field. We'll be back with more of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. We're in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, our new home for Jaguars Today. Weekdays 10 to noon here on the Superstation. Coming up at the noon hour, it'll be XL Primetime. Joe C., Ryan the Hacker, Green, and T-Wig. Three more shows, then I got my serious vacation coming up at the end of the week.
Is
yes.
that a theme today, Lauren?
Yes, there's a theme. But by the way, Mike, not to be confused with the serious vacation that some other serious employees are taking. That got fired over some Twitter stuff going on.
Yeah.
Oh, Anthony.
Right.
Yeah. Opie and Anthony show.
Right.
Oh, did they get fired? I don't. Anthony, I don't follow the Opie and Anthony news.
Well, neither do I.
As closely as I need to. What do they do?
Well, I guess Anthony took a picture of a woman, a random woman, and made some comments, and then she was mad, and she hit him over the head or something. Some crazy stuff.
That seems mildly kind of tame.
Well, apparently the comments were racially sensitive.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We have a Johnny Manziel update. New picture on TMZ Sports.
New picture?
Tending bar at an Austin nightclub. Lauren, fill us in.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what he was doing because I was not in Austin, but my cousin Caitlin was in Austin, and she was there for a wedding of a former Florida State player. And was standing right next to Johnny Manziel for a couple minutes. And
when was this?
This was Thursday night in Austin, Texas.
And the picture says it's Thursday night in Austin.
See, she was standing right next to him, and so some other girl came up and asked Johnny for a picture, and he said, "No, I can't." And I was like, "Well, the girl should have said, or Caitlin should have said, like, well, sorry, I'm not Justin Bieber, you know, not good enough for you."
Right. So. I mean, I guess he had taken a picture with one young lady for the week, and that was enough. That's right. I just called Justin Bieber young lady.
Kind of looked like it.
So at least he was trying to maybe keep it down to a dull roar, right? How many social media photos?
I don't know what that's
photos?
About, because I've seen photos from, like, the flight on his way to Vegas this weekend. Some random dude named, like, David Kaepernick tweeted out a photo of him with
Like Manziel was aware.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel was given the number one signal in that photo. He's got photos from this weekend where he was with some young lady, some model.
I saw her.
Where he was taking pictures with her. So, I mean, he's obviously still willing to take photos. I doubt he consented to the one that is going on with the dollar bill, but, man, it certainly wasn't that he's not taking pictures
right.
of anybody.
Maybe this girl wasn't attractive enough. I mean, I don't know her. I'm just saying. Maybe that's why he wouldn't take it.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. Who knows what Johnny Manziel thinks?
You just said that. You insinuated.
That's I'm not.
Some hairy dog.
He needed to go
the photo.
Get refreshed in the bathroom.
Right.
Oh,
goodness. Well, I thought maybe that was it. Like, he's only taking them with, you know, who wouldn't take a picture with Biebs, right? And Floyd Mayweather. But,
sure.
And clearly the photo of him rolling up the whatever domination bill, call it the dollar bill.
Lets people run to their imaginations. Quickly.
Yeah. And I don't think he, looking at it, I doubt he knew somebody was taking that photo. Or that one is not,
no.
That one's not sliding out in the public consciousness.
No, and it's hard to argue that it's him or not because we have pictures of him in the same location wearing the same damn thing
with
this girl.
With that same gold chain on.
Right.
With that girl, she's not in the photo.
No.
Of him rolling it. But look, I didn't need to see the other pictures of him wearing the same clothes. It looked like Johnny Manziel to me, even though he's kind of looking down. If you had asked me who's that a picture of, I don't know if it would have taken me long to figure out that it was a picture of Johnny Manziel if there were no other context given. although I guess now you have a pretty safe bet guessing that any compromising photo taken is of Johnny Manziel. There's a good chance of that. I've not seen. Were there really pictures of him in Austin?
Go to Twitter and search TMZ Sports.
All right, I'll have to do that. If the computer's a little dragon right now on that.
It actually looks like Lonnie kind of a little bit behind Johnny Manziel in that right picture.
Now we're getting somewhere.
So Lonnie Pryor, you're going to drag his name into this whole thing.
What's the number?
I'm just saying it looks like him behind him.
Let's be clear. You're talking about the photo of him tending bar, not
yes.
the picture of him tending to whatever he's tending to in the bathroom.
That Although is correct.
As Tony pointed out, he did have the mixed drink in front of him. Perhaps he was tending a little makeshift bar. In there. That's kind of like the VIP
Don't
room.
Don't you think so, Ryan? Doesn't that look like him?
Call him up. We'll ask him $2 questions. Then we'll get down to business.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I mean, he would never appear on Browns Today if we hosted that program. I mean, how do you not want to know all these things, what's going on? And I know he says, hey, you know, it's getting... I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to live my life. But you're making it easy.
Here's what I want to know.
Is Lonnie that tall?
I don't think
he's
Lonnie's
6'1".
Yeah,
almost 6'1".
A little tall.
But I'm looking at these photos from TMZ now, Ryan.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is the other photos were allegedly in Vegas. Does he have like 18 gray shirts that he likes to wear, or
is it all the same gray
did he
shirt?
Not change his clothes at all.
Are you serious? So this is from Austin
Thursday.
How do we know? This looks more, it's exactly what he was wearing in Vegas. I don't know if he wears the same gray shirt or
so
maybe.
Like a superhero, he's got the same thing.
Maybe he hopped on a plane.
He's like Dukes of Hazzard, wears the same thing every day.
Is that, you tell us, Ryan, you're the guy who's out there all the time now in the clubs, but is that like standard fare, plain gray t-shirt? Is that?
I have one going out shirt.
And are you wearing it
and
now?
I'm wearing it now.
That's fantastic. By the way, the Duke boys look pretty good. I think they've aged pretty well.
Yeah.
You've seen the commercial, yeah. I think especially Schneider looks like he's been taking care of himself.
We'll pull back.
Maybe. Yeah, that's all right, but it doesn't look in the Jerry Jones category.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping they'd hop in the car, show that part, but maybe they can't do it.
I don't think they've got enough. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute would be on. Why am I not following at TMZ Sports, by the way? And I'll rectify that quickly because they get all the good scoops.
Yes,
these
they do.
Days, as far as that goes. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board today talking about some of the most disappointing players in franchise history for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is amazing, too, out of all these guys. Really, up until this point, none of them have come back to haunt them in terms of going to another team and having any kind of post-Jaguar career. Reggie Williams never signed with another team. He got busted. What did he get busted with? Did he have pot or cocaine on him? When he got busted like in the wee hours when free agency opened up. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, it was like free agency opened at midnight when it was still opening at midnight on whatever day. And then he got arrested at like 3 in the morning, I want to say, that very morning. And that was it. We never saw the likes of Reggie Williams in the National Football League again. Certainly Matt Jones and R.J. Soward. Jimmy Smith retired. Gabbert right now hanging on for dear life and creating positive buzz out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's got.
Hey, well, one thing he can do well is throw during practice. So
this is true.
This is right up his alley.
Speaking of which, because of the time we were on the air, we talked about this. Tony and I were rarely at a training camp practice last year. I remember the reports we'd hear were that Henny was just really, really bad. How do you compare what you've seen from Chad Henny and what you're allowed to talk about and what portion was open to you last year, his performance last offseason compared to this year?
See, I'm trying to remember that. I don't remember, I mean, because we were doing the practice reports every day during camp, and I don't remember Henny being like 2 of 14 or 4 of 17, because it wasn't, you know, we weren't really paying attention to him as much as, okay, because Gabbert was, you know, it was a competition, wink, wink. There was only a couple of people in the building who actually believed that. So, but I don't, it didn't stand out to me like Henny was being terrible. I mean, if we went back and looked at the numbers, they probably were pretty even, but then Gabbert didn't practice the last couple weeks at camp, so, because of the thumb thing. So, I think Henny probably looks sharper this year, because he's getting more reps he's with the ones the whole time. But you know, so I didn't read that much into it last year.
Why do you think coaches and regimes? I mean, this is, you know, you've got different circumstances, but why do you feel that they need to make such a big deal out of a competition if one guy is clearly the guy that they want to have the job? Is it just to create that aura that's what we're all about, top to bottom on this roster? Because clearly, you go to a place where the quarterback is established, nobody's talking about a competition for the quarterback position, and everyone says every year, well, the best guy's going to play at every position. Well, you generally know at certain positions who the best guy is. There's no competition to start at middle linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, yeah, for instance.
I mean, they're trying that with right guard right now. I mean, we can all predict that Brandon Leonard's going to be the guy.
That's what we expect.
And so maybe they don't want to hand it to him. They want to make him earn it a little bit, and they gave him a little bit of a taste with the ones later and during the minicamp. But get back to your Gabbert point. I just looked up last July 29th, Gabbert 11 of 15, Henny 5 of 10.
Okay.
So, you know, so I'm sure that was.
Yeah, you're completing about 70% to 50%.
Yeah.
At least from that snapshot right there. And, you know, you're getting more reps. I'm assuming that's like 11 on 11.
Yeah, that was only 11 on 11. So,
and you were allowed to report that.
Yeah, well, when they're open to the public.
Ah.
And then August 1st, Henny 5 at 11, Gabbert 3 of 5, because he's come back from the ankle. So,
right.
Those are just 2 days that I pulled up. But, I mean, this year it's going to, we're going to keep the numbers on Bortles and Henny, not so much from a comparison sake, just become from an interest. Interesting.
Right, in terms of how many snaps are they? How are they getting Bortles prepared, considering he's not going to play this
year? Yeah, I mean, is it 50-50? Are they going to do what they did in camp, ones and twos?
By the way, the rumor was we may see a training camp schedule sometime today. How's that rumor coming along?
It's hopefully by the end of the hour. They told me that 13 practices would be open all the way up to the second preseason game in Chicago, which is, I think, up from 8 or 9 last year. They're all going to be at 9:55 in the morning, except for the one at Bartram Trail on July 27th, which is a Monday night, 7 o'clock. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more either by the end of the show or later today.
That's going to be interesting. See what we do with the show. I know the boys from XL Primetime, when they're doing a little later, or, you know, early afternoon practices, were out there broadcasting live, Tony. So bring your sunscreen. I have a feeling we may be an outdoor show for a good portion of training camp.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
From the sounds of thing. Today, asking you to weigh in on which Jaguar has had the most disappointing career. Also, our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight question of the day. Josh Gordon, Justin Blackmon, two receivers who can't seem to get out of their own way when it comes to NFL discipline. Which guy will be back on an NFL field in uniform before the other? You can weigh in on that at facebook.com/JaguarsToday. Tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. Top of the hour, XL Primetime. We'll come back, look at some of your responses on social media to the question of the day. Continue the conversation with you straight ahead live from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We have an update. Jaguars Today rolls on. Apparently, according to the source, that is not Lonnie Pryor behind Johnny Manziel and those TMZ photos.
Dang it.
I know, but I don't know who it is, but I know
Stone
who it's
Cold
not.
Crazy? Is this Metallica covering Stone Cold Crazy?
Yes, it is.
We figured out the theme.
Yes, he did.
Warren basically told us what the theme was.
I'm not going to make you work on a Monday.
NFL players going crazy. It really was a rash of suspensions last week. You had Deion Jordan, another would-be Jaguar,
yep,
who went third overall last year as the Dolphins traded up to get him. I think they just gave up a second-round pick, which was...
Yeah, they did. We looked at it.
Right. They went from, like, 12 to 3 for the cost of a second, which is pretty
like
good.
49th pick or something like that. It was 43rd, maybe.
Whatever it was. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever they were, add that to 32. That's where they're picking probably in the second round.
Yeah.
But Deion Jordan, who everybody said looked like he had packed on 15 to 20 pounds of muscle all summer long.
He did.
He claims it was a stimulant, in quotes, Adderall, right? Because that's what everyone uses now because it doesn't have the stigma that it does of anabolic steroids,
sure,
or whatever else you're using to put on that 15 to 20 pounds of muscle. I'm sure hard work and the sweat of your brow is all it took for Deion Jordan, but he's suspended for the first four games. Lavon Brazil, the wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. Think about it. You come into the league with Andrew Luck on a team whose wide receiver depth chart will be turning over in the next couple of years. Is there a better situation for a young wide receiver to walk into unless he is an A.J. Green or somebody like that who's going to get every benefit of the doubt as a top five pick? And Lavon Brazil now suspended for a year for another violation of the substance abuse policy. Apparently he likes smoking the dope too. I believe he even said that at some point after his last, he had a four game suspension. He said, it's time for me to marijuana and me. I got to choose football over dope. Basically, and that's what I'm going to do from this point forward. And he did for a while, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean the track record. I'd be fascinated to look at the research of how many of these guys who serve four game suspensions, how many get suspended again.
Ultimately, get suspended again.
Does that four game suspension really? Is it really a see the light moment, or are these guys just?
That's a good point. I wonder what the numbers are on that because there are not too many guys that get that full year suspension. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, I don't think there are that many guys that get the four-game suspension. Yeah. What do you think? A little less than 50% get the year?
Yeah, probably.
Something like that. But whatever it is, it's too many, mm-hmm, you would think. You make the first quote-unquote mistake or poor decision, and you just get put in the program. It just means you're going to get tested more. There's really, other than that, I don't think there's any great repercussion. Are you required to do counseling, something like that, if you go, if you're in the program?
I don't think so, because you're still eligible to play.
Right.
So, I would doubt it.
And then you go on, next one's going to get a four-game suspension, and obviously it's an indefinite suspension. We always talk about a
minimum year.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a minimum of year. Although, last year when we heard, just for Justin Blackmon, it's kind of like eight games with everything else kind of pending. Mm-hmm. And so you felt like if he did everything right, there were some kind of mitigating circumstances that might allow him to get off with half a year.
Because the way they worded it that day was suspended indefinitely, .. out for the rest of the 2013 season. So,
right.
So
a minimum of eight
minimum
games.
Eight.
Right.
Okay, then the league said he's eligible to file for reinstatement before the 2014 season.
Doesn't mean we'll
season.
Grant it to him. But technically you would think there's at least some, if he had towed the line 100%, then maybe there was a chance he could have been on the field for the opener.
At the time, I guess we thought maybe, but then we did the research and we said, okay, really quickly after that was announced, I thought minimum first half of this season.
Right. I think that's what most people
a calendar year
felt as well. Let's get a couple calls in and we'll get to some of the social media response to Josh Gordon and Justin Blackman. We'll start with Andre next up here on Jaguars Today. How you doing, Andre?
Pretty good, pretty good. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
This is just on topic, just a little bit indirectly, but my hypothesis is on this, is that these guys, from the time they're in high school and even in the college, I don't think that they're really learning. I think because of their athletic premise, they're just getting a pass. They're taking classes that are not real classes. They're just walking through college. They're the big man on campus. They're getting praised, and they're not really taking any classes in college that's teaching them any discipline or learning anything. So when they come out of college and they come to the pros, they're the same guy that they were when they're in the 10th and 11th grade, and that's why they still run with the same cats, is because they're not learning anything. I mean, they're just going through school, you know, because they have the athleticism, you know, taking three, you know, basic college math classes or something silly like that. And I think that's part of the problem. And that's just my thought.
All right, what do you think, Ryan?
I mean, probably a stereotype. I think in some respects, elite athletes are aided and abetted. But usually with the education, I think that's, you know, in terms of when guys go broke. You know, nobody showed them the way. Whereas this kind of stuff, you know, how much were they drug tested in college? You know,
how much did they get away with it?
Yeah.
Too.
Yes.
Did they fail multiple tests and did their coaches cover for them?
Yeah, because there's not a universal NCAA.
Right. Every school's got their own thing. And a lot of schools, it takes like five failed tests to kick you out of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's, I wouldn't say a blanket statement that all these guys that get in trouble are because of that. There is certainly something to the, you know, everything being done for you and everyone kissing your butt all the way through the process.
I mean, to me, that's the part of the Blackman story that I'm most interested in at this point is we have, okay, parents, supportive, high school coaches, still talk to him. There's that area at Oklahoma State. What happened there? You know, he still talks to the receivers coaches now at North Carolina, but what was he able to get away with? What kind of guidance was he given or not, just didn't listen to? So, you know, the worm turned in Stillwater for Justin Blackman, and he hasn't got back on the right track since.
The story in Sports Illustrated that's out right now, as a matter of fact, talked about the other aspect that you're talking about where guys go broke. And a lot of the guys who were quoted in the story said basically, along the lines of what we're talking about here, everything is done for you. You are not only that, but the adulation that comes with it. Everyone's looking out for you. There's a support system. Once you're gone, it's like when you're hurt and you're on a roster, you're forgotten about. Nobody talks to you. These guys are like, look, when you retire, nobody's calling.
Mm-hmm.
Your former teammate, now one or two may, but for the most part, you can't replicate this little womb you've been in, you know, with this locker room and everything. So much is done for you. If these guys here, for instance, need something done, there's so many people on staff here that take care of so many little things for these guys. I'm not saying that's a terrible thing. You know, you're trying to run a big organization, having these guys mentally ready to go on game day and not having to worry about that. If you can do some of that stuff, fine. But some guys never learn basically how to live their life as an adult until they get out of the league.
In that SI, the opposite end was that Harold Miner, who just shut everybody out.
Right.
And by all accounts was living a very productive life, but people were concerned about him. But he just wouldn't get back to anybody.
Right.
So nobody knew what he was up to. I think that's what Blackman's at right now. He could be doing fine for all we know, but he's not communicating with anybody.
You would think, and rare is the case where you're going to be completely cutting off communication and you're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, just odds tell you that, yes, theoretically it's possible, but chances are, usually when you're not wanting to see anybody, it's because you know you're not doing the right things or, you know, or they're going to be on you about, hey, are you doing this? Are you taking care of your business? And if you are, I don't think there's any great reason to cut off communication with seemingly everybody who, you know, has a stake in your future.
Yeah.
The way it's seemed to have gone. Let's get Sonny in here real quick as well. Sonny, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, I was calling with my biggest disappointment.
Sure.
I was kind of torn between Hugh Douglas and R.J. Sauer, but I went with Hugh Douglas because he was supposed to be that big free agent signing that we brought in and, you know, turned out to just be a complete turd. And then when he left here, he went back and just kept talking crap about Jacksonville. So he's got to be my biggest disappointment, man.
Yeah. When you talk about outright turds of like, you know, is Reggie Williams a bad guy, or is Reggie Williams just a guy who just liked to smoke dope and didn't know how to say no to it? I don't know if he's really a bad guy per se. Hugh Douglas was a mercenary opportunist who, yeah, I just don't get that. Like, you a franchise is going to give you a few million bucks, whatever the case. I don't see the impetus. I guess with Hugh Douglas, you know, he wanted to just that was his personality. He just threw it out there, and it got him a job for a while he could keep it with ESPN.
He's a ticking time bomb.
Who's the guy? Aaron, what's his last name? Whose wife went to the Olympics?
Oh, right? Aaron Ross.
Aaron Ross. That whole thing with that one comment turned the whole fan base against you. I took a year paid vacation in Jacksonville.
It was so blatant that the owner brought it up.
Right.
Shaw did.
Right.
He said, "We don't have any paid vacations around here."
And I don't blame him. I mean, that would piss me off to no end. But Hugh Douglas came in, and the feeling was he just was like, "Man, I just got my money. That's all I'm interested in. Didn't work hard. Couldn't care less about reaching out, communicating with the fan base, anything like that." He, I think, is high on the list of just Jags that fans don't like. R.J. Soward, major disappointment. I don't think anybody got to know R.J. Soward enough to know if he's just a bad guy or a guy who was extremely immature and couldn't take care of his life's business. Tony, give us a sampling of what we got today. Our Tom Bush, Family at Dealership, Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you, who gets back in the NFL sooner, Josh Gordon, Justin Blackmon?
A handful of responses here from Paulo. We got Josh Gordon. Don't think Justin will ever be on an NFL jersey again, # Jaguars today. From Brandon, I think neither is the correct answer.
Might be.
But I would say Blackmon has the better chance, # Jaguars today. From Christoph, who got his T-shirt today. What up over there on the island? We got #
Jaguars
today.
Is that what we're calling Great Britain now?
Yes. Justin Blackmon hopefully will be back, but probably not a Jag. From Sean, Blackmon already serving his year ban where Josh hasn't begun his year and now may be out 2 to 3 years or longer. # Jaguars today. # idiots. And from Stevie, Irish Jaguar, it's impossible to know which will be back first, but JB14 has a better chance to stay with the team. # Jaguars today.
Which is interesting because we all think the chance that he suits up for the Jags again is pretty low. Although, you know, the term is tolling. His contract tolls. In other words, the year doesn't go by in his contract. While he's suspended, at any point he's suspended, that contract is frozen. So the Jags still have him under his rookie deal for, I don't know, a couple more years?
At least two, yeah.
Right?
So 4-year deal, rookie deal, so he played a year.
4-year deal,
half.
Probably with a team option on
the. So fifth. So he's got 2 years left plus an option.
Right.
Because he played a year
and
a half.
At very team friendly prices. Ugh. Well, I mean, relatively team friendly. He's the fifth overall pick in the draft, but once you get past the guaranteed money, the year by year salaries are not that crippling to your salary.
And I know he's dealing with his own issues and demons and whatever's going on with Justin and trying to get himself back in the league, but I would be waking up every day frustrated by the fact that, look, he's way too talented to not be getting ready for his second contract right now, for those negotiations to not be going on right now. What he's costing himself, I mean, it would bother me to absolutely no end.
But that's the thing. I mean, if you truly are an addict, and I don't know if he is, or, you know, I don't know what his, I'm not his psychologist, not his doctor, those kind of things, you know, you put $1 million in front of him and say, if you change, you can have this, and you just can't, you know, not all of them are capable of changing.
Like I said, I know he's dealing with his own demons and trying to figure all that stuff out, but
most people on the Facebook page, I believe it'll be Blackmon, who's back primarily because he got suspended first, but hey, talk to Tanard Jackson.
Right.
Who is just now, who's he with now this offseason? He's with Washington.
The Redskins cut him and then re-signed him the next day.
But they had, basically, 2 years. His suspension turned into a 2-year deal with him. Until you get cleared by the league, that's where the indefinite side of things kicks in. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships presents the Fan Feedback Spotlight. They include the Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini as well. You can visit TomBush.com for more information when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle and follow them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors. Quick final thought today. Khalil Mack, if you haven't read it, SI.com, Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback, Khalil Mack got selected to be the fill-in writer. First of all, from a journalism standpoint, big fan of the column today?
He should concentrate on football.
Focus on football. Is he a bust as a small school guest writer as well?
It was terrible. It wasn't anything interesting in there.
But you have declared, just to be clear to people,
I don't think he's going to be a great player either.
You think he's going to be a bust because he's a small school guy.
And he.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm representing fairly here. But
let's just put it this way. There were disagreements in this building about what position he would play. That's why they wasn't, because he's a tweener. So I don't think he's going to really find a home anywhere at a position. Like when he says, I can't wait to cover tight ends. Tight ends can't wait for that either.
Well, he says he thinks he's going to be most effective if they move him around the formation, and that may ultimately be how they use him out in Oakland. He said this is one of the items he wrote. He said, I think I have a couple of guys on my sack list, I think.
It's the 10 things I think part of the column.
Right,
by the way.
Right. 10 things I think or whatever.
Yeah, so dreadful.
Peter King is, I think I have a couple of guys on my sack list. Couple meaning two, but regardless, AFC West resident Peyton Manning, fellow class of 14 or 2014 member Blake Bortles, and I've got to put Tom Brady on there. Brady is going to pass the ball more than 36 times a game, so that's a lot of opportunities for me. Ryan doesn't like it because they don't play the Jags this year. I'm assuming he knew he was being talked about as being on the Jaguars' radar. And when Blake Bortles goes, he's pulling a page out of the Maurice Jones-Drew book.
I want to ask Blake what he said to Khalil Mack at the draft.
What do you think? You think you said something to piss him off?
There was some kind of smack.
Check
talk.
Me out, bro.
Yeah.
Top three.
Have fun in Oakland.
Right.
Top three. You're number 32.
That's right.
Out there, which Pro
Why
Football
wouldn't
Talk.
Wouldn't he say Manning and Raiders. Rivers? If you want to throw Brady in there,
I
too.
I get if you want to say Manning and Brady as the two benchmark guys of the last 15 years in the NFL or whatever.
Man.
That's your prerogative.
That's weird.
I got to believe Blake's included in that because of where he went in the draft.
Blake did something to get under his skin.
You think so?
I think so.
Maybe. Never mind. I'm not even going to suggest. Because anything I say, then you hear what Dempsey said today? He said Blake Bortles did. Never mind. Moving along. That'll wrap it up for us today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. I'll see you in a couple weeks, I think, will be the case. So enjoy my time off, Ryan O'Halloran. I'm sure everyone else will.
You guys need to hug it out.
Do we need to hug it out?
That'd be a fist pound.
Are you like Howie Mandel? Do you not like the are you a bit of a germaphobe? What's your story?
No.
Is it just me?
No, it's just you.
All right.
If Lauren Brooks was sitting in that chair, it'd be like
a question. And we can all understand that sentiment. All right, Ryan O'Halloran, check him out in the pages of the Florida Times Union at Jacksonville.com as well. For Fat Tony, for Lauren, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold that bring you the show every Monday. And our new sponsor, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, our new studio sponsor here at Everbank Field. Josie Hacker and T-Wig next with XL Primetime on 1010XL 92.5 FM.